Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this new episode of our E2C podcast series. Today, we feel very fortunate to have Ms. Nupu Tandon with us. Just to give an overview about today's speaker, Ms. Nupu Tandon is the founding director at ProWest Concepts, a TEDx speaker working towards the goal of creating social and environmental change. After spending considerable time as business development professional in Paris as well as New Delhi, she took to her calling of clearing the earth up in her own way. In 2012, Ms. Nupur conceptualized and started ProWest Concepts with the vision of creating a future without landfills. As of today, her company has created models of decentralized waste management across multiple private and government-led institutions and communities. ProWest company is beyond just providing services. They serve as change makers towards improving the waste management practices using a holistic approach integrated with real-time technology. ProWest has successfully crafted many zero waste campuses out of institutions who had no clue what to do with their waste and has managed to divert tons of waste out of the landfills each day and counting. Well, Nupur ma'am, once again, a very warm welcome to our E2C podcast show.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hello. I'm very pleased to connect with E2C podcast team and with my fellow listeners.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Ma'am, in our day-to-day lives, like, we have a lot to manage each hour. You know, I mean, ranging from our scheduling the professional work until the time we need the sleep. And now in middle of all this, all of us generate a significant portion of solid waste, maybe in form of disposables, you know, which includes high and low grade plastics, food, fruit peels, to name a few. If my facts are true, to my knowledge, worldwide, on an average, a person generates nearly around 200 to 750 grams of solid waste each day, where a good amount of that is in form of trash. I mean, trash waste such as disposable cups, plates, spoons, you know. And also, Nupur ma'am, some of us might be aware that paper and plastic cups are unacceptable for definite recycling, or even, let's say, some kind of a, you know, process like composting, for obvious reasons. I mean, of course, you can't use them for the composting directly, which eventually becomes a trash and burdens the landfill. And hence, you know, it's an endless process because it never comes back and, you know, it just goes there as an end point. Now, some reputed research reports I was reading, you know, a couple of weeks earlier, and they were sending an alarming fact that more than 75,000 microplastics may leach out when a hot beverage such as tea or coffee hits the inner wax lining of the plastic or disposable cups, you know, in which we consume our regular tea, coffee, or any hot beverage. Let's say a hot water also. Now, Nupur ma'am, now you have worked so much in this field and, you know, in the field of solid waste management. We would like to know your general point of view about it.
Yeah, so let us first understand the definition of characteristics of a single-use plastic or disposables. So most people get it wrong. You know, they don't understand that single-use plastic, there are various wrappers, packaging wrappers or paper cups or paper plates, which are also non-recyclable. So a single-use plastic or disposables cannot be recycled, they cannot be composted, or they cannot be degraded. So that means there are no takers. It cannot be picked up by any recyclers because it has zero recyclable value and it cannot be composted. So there is no alternative eco-friendly disposal method which can be adopted. It is burnt openly, illegally, or it ends up in water bodies. It ends up in illegal landfills, or it is burnt. So it is the most visible form of environmental hazard which we are facing today. In recently, we have seen that single-use plastic has, you know, there's a burst of single-use plastic in our country as compared to, you know, many, many years back. The consumption patterns in our country has drastically changed. Our packaging industry has evolved. There is multi-layered plastic which is being used. There are all kinds of brands which are available in our country now. It can be juices or fast food or even food services portals like Swiggy or Zomato, which are responsible for adding this category, or particularly this category of waste into our system. And these wrappers are totally contaminated. Thus, it is unfit for recycling and it cannot be degraded or composted. So we are left with a large amount of this category of waste, which is termed as trash. And it is the most harmful concoction, which is degrading our environment. I would also like to speak about the medical harm it is doing to our human body. As you said, Professor Prateek, that, you know, about microplastic, we have clear research papers that now microplastic is now entered into our human body. And to add on, the material which it is made of is carcinogenic. They are using propylene and polypropylene to make these products. And when we are consuming food or beverages, it is causing notable harm to our bodies, and we know the number of cancers. We are number one cancer country now. So the medical issues and the environmental issues, it is linked, and that is which is a matter of concern today, that disposables and single use plastic is causing in our country. We also know that there are dumps of waste which is now around our cities, and the animals are eating it, or it is just thrown away. It is carried away by the wind. It is entering into our storm water drains, thus causing blockages and floods and our cattle dying. So there are many, many negative impact that is caused by the use of single-use plastic or MLPs or disposables which cannot be degraded.
Thank you so much, Nupa ma'am, for the invaluable insights on single-use disposable. I would like to know, how do you single-use disposal contribute to the growing crisis of solid waste management, and what impact does this have on human health that warrant in our attention, as you just mentioned now, and especially in the light of discussion surrounding plastic pollution everywhere and the need for sustainable alternatives? And in addition, is there any case study related to that you would like to share the experience of your personal experience?
So as I said, single-use plastic is not non-recyclable. So the most waste management contractors or municipal contractors do not want to collect it. First of all, the first step is it doesn't even get, in most cases, doesn't get segregated from the other categories of waste. So that is the most, important thing which should happen, but it's not happening. It's not getting segregated, or even if it gets segregated, the municipal contractors do not want to lift it because it is not economically viable for them. So that is the biggest challenge which we are facing today. So the only option which is left is to reduce the generation of single-use plastic. That is, I really want to pinpoint here, that is the foremost important thing which any campus or any institute or any individual should make an effort to take steps towards reducing this category of waste in their lives, or stop or you know, create a campus which is free of single use plastic or paper or plastic disposables. Only then we can take the next steps forward. So when you talk about case studies, I can, you know, share some details about on a campus how the change has happened. And before our intervention, there are a lot of food shops on any campus, and they all are using disposables, and the bins are full of, they are overflowing with paper cups and paper plates or plastic wrappers, and it was so difficult to handle and, you know, clear that waste out of the campus, and this campus would spend a huge amount of money to get rid of the waste, to take that out of the campus. As soon as the decision was taken that this campus is going to become a zero disposable campus, we could see a notable change, and the dustbins were totally clean because they started using reusables. It can be steel or glass, and suddenly we saw that there was acceptance level, you know, among the students and the consumers, that they started accepting that, okay, we will go back to using steel or cups, and the change was beautiful, because even the shopkeepers were not spending money to buy disposable every day, and the way the whole area or the on the landscape change of the campus was beautiful, because hygienically it added on to the aesthetics of the campus, and it was so easy to handle less waste which was generated on the campus.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Your effort has been impeccable in the field of waste management overall. And ma'am, some of the keywords that can be associated with your work are like decentralization, sustainability, and who can forget the zero waste mission. Ma'am, could you elaborate on how you decided to work along these lines, and how are the terms that I mentioned earlier creating an impact and bringing about change in the environment overall?
Yeah, so pro-waste model is a very non-classic model of a solid waste management company. You know, as we do not deal with handling waste, but we strongly believe that this waste management is a social problem, and only tech magic cannot solve it. So we make sure that we connect with the community to empower them, to educate them, and to enable them to practice solid waste management. And our tagline clearly says a call to action. So we ensure that our systemic approach, where the waste is segregated at source, where the waste is, as a segregated waste is collected and transported and finally disposed of, the whole process is a systemic design, and which is implemented successfully at the ground level. So that has been our mission. That is the thing which goes on to create a future without landfills. That is a vision ProWaste is working towards, and we ensure that we work with the generators of waste very closely. That is us, the people who are generating waste day in and day out. We educate them and create awareness among the community, so that they accept the responsibility towards waste and they change their mindset towards waste. And of course, we work very closely with the team who handles waste. Mostly we see that the people who are handling waste are not trained, or they are not educated, they don't understand, or they don't identify the categories of waste. So we ensure that we work with them very closely at the ground level, so to eradicate this gap. we've been focusing very much on the infrastructure, which is very important to ensure that all categories of waste are handled effectively and correctly and efficiently on any campus. So it may be like the color-coded bins, it may be maybe a trolley for collection of waste, or it may be a biogas or a composting pit that is built on a campus. And it also would also mean that bringing in efficient technology or vendors who are certified, who will take care of biomedical waste, which is generated in the labs or in the medical center, or there are vendors, certified vendors, who are recyclers, who will collect paper and plastic from any campus. So it is a very holistic approach which ProWaste is implementing at the ground level. We really believe very strongly that SWM system has to be designed efficiently so that it ensures of the flow of all categories of waste, which starts from its generation till it is safely disposed of, has to be handled, has to be synchronized efficiently so that no waste ends up into the landfills. So decentralized waste management models are the answer, I believe, to achieve this goal.
Thank you, ma'am. Ma'am, you spoke about generation of waste, the problem on site, and the segregation, its benefits. So I would like to know from you that how does the accumulation of these non-biodegradable items like plastic cups, wrappers, or the packaging material, how do they contribute to the waste problem in legacy waste fills? And how can this problem be eradicated in the areas which have inadequate waste management systems?
Yeah, so when you talk about the waste categories, I mean, it's a concoction of organic waste, paper plastic waste, trash, biomedical waste, and also hazardous waste and C&D waste. So we normally see that organic waste is up to 60% of the waste which is generated by a person, is 60% of it is mainly organic waste in India, and the rest of it will comprise of paper plastic and a small fraction is biomedical waste. Now the paper plastic waste, which is recyclable waste, a lot of it has high value. It is high valued, which can be PET or cardboards or A4 size paper or thick plastic, which can be recycled. But a lot bigger part of it is a zero waste value, which cannot be recycled. This is a major problem. So if you observe in any waste dump, which is in our neighborhood or in the corner of the roads, you will never find that it is there is dump of hard plastic or PET bottles or cardboards, which are of high value. So all that is picked up by our waste pickers, so-called waste pickers, and I say them that they are our unsung heroes. They are doing a great job by picking up all that from our waste dumps, which we find on our roads and in our neighborhoods, and they divert it from the landfills. What is rest is the low grade and maybe C&D or medical or biodegradable or hazardous waste, which eventually is picked up and it is transported to the landfills. Sometimes, of course, it also there is a lot of organic waste which lies in our landfills for thousands of years. We know all that. You know, that waste cannot be degraded, it will not get composted, it will cause a lot of environmental hazards like emissions, contamination of underground water and our soil, and there is nothing once it reaches the landfills, there is not much that can be done. So there is some intervention which is happening. Is this categories of waste is used for co-processing in the cement plants, but the logistics and the ground level realities, it's still very, you know, it's very difficult to transport it to the cement plants. So the most effective solution, I would say, is reduction of this category of waste. And if at all it's generated, it has to be segregated, and we have to find contractors and solution providers who will use this waste to upcycle it or recycle it, and to use it for co-processing or make biofuel. And also it is about time that municipalities and the technology providers, there should be some innovation which can be popular and that can be implemented to convert this waste into resource.
Right. So ma'am, what do you think that how can we transition to eco-friendly, biodegradable and sustainable alternatives for these everyday waste like plastic cups and packaging materials? So like where we can incorporate like both material innovations and policy changes, and like how can we do a shift in the mindset? If you have some like real life examples for that, like let's take an example of these recycled plates made of leaves in South India. So like if you have such examples, can you please like share with us?
Yeah, so let's start with something what is called individual social responsibility. So that's the mindset of individuals that plays a very important role. I think now there's enough awareness due to media, social media and news, that we all have learned that this category of waste is really harming our health. So it is now about time that individuals take up action and they make an effort to stop using disposables which are made of plastic and paper and start adopting eco-friendly solutions. You said it right, that the leaf plates, traditionally we were using leaf plates in the country. It can be South India or North India. I mean, I clearly remember that, you know, street food was served only in leaf plates. It's only now, since few years back, people have started, I don't know, they find plates made of thermocol or these lined with plastic or aluminium foil, is they find it attractive. But it was never seen or never used many, many years back. South India, traditionally, a lot of places, they are served meals in a banana leaf or arkanut, which is very, very popular. And there's sal leaves, which is also very easily available in the western part of the country. Or eastern part of the country. So traditionally, our country was using, biodegradable material. But we need to go back to the and readopt these traditional materials which were used for serving street food, for example. We never used PET bottles. I mean, we all used to carry our water bottles. We have to restart doing that. Plastic water bottles, mineral water bottles was I think something which has evolved over few years back. It was never available many years back in our country. And even the packaging material, I mean, traditionally, a lot of times we see packaging made out of banana leaf fiber or paper packaging is used. It is in our country, the packaging industry has evolved and everything is now coming in plastic covers, unlike earlier where everybody was going for groceries and they would carry a cloth bag. So I think it is the people who has to change their mindset and take it up as a movement and refuse single-use plastic and material which cannot be biodegraded. That's really important. Then only we can, impact the policy. Only if we decide to stop using, the policymakers will make an effort to ban the production of all these, and the packaging industry will make an effort to change their the products which they use for packaging. For example, there is a beautiful change which is happening now. Earlier, there was thermocol which was used for packaging to keep the product safe, and now they are using honeycomb brown material to wrap, or the bubble. They were using bubble wrap also, the plastic bubble wrap. So it is getting replaced with the honeycomb material which is wrapped around a product to keep it safe. So I'm sure you would have come across it. So these are the kind of positive and heartening news which we read. But because this has been possible only because people have started questioning the packaging industry, and we have started raising our voice against these kind of materials. So some of the good changes are happening, but still we have a long way to go.
Thank you, ma'am. Ma'am, my question is related to the what are the main benefits and challenges associated with the implementing composting programs on a large scale, like reducing landfill waste, mitigating greenhouse gas emission, and producing a nutrient-rich soil for agriculture? Thank you.
Yeah, so the foremost challenge, I would say, is always segregation of waste at source. So in our country, that is the biggest challenge which we are facing today, that people do not want to segregate waste at source. Even it is clearly mentioned in the waste management laws, and even Swachh Bharat Mission has taken this cause widely, but people are not ready to follow the rules. They refuse to segregate waste. That is number one. And the second thing is, we do not have a systemic approach, a systemic design to handle waste in our country. Our municipalities have not been able to implement waste management processes which ensure that the categories of waste will be handled as per the rules. That means the organic waste that should be composted, or it should be sent to a biogas plant or a composting unit. They are unable to do it, even if they get segregated waste. That means all paper and plastic which is generated and is segregated at source should be sent for recycling. All biomedical waste and hazardous waste should go for scientific incineration or eco-friendly disposal methods. But there has been various reasons why we would have failed to do it. It can be there is gap in infrastructure, there is gap in systems, that would mean that there are not enough awareness, education, training. There are no processes which are created at the ground level by the policymakers, which are not followed by the municipalities. So all the categories of waste are not being handled as it should be. So that, and all these stakeholders, the stakeholders are the generators of waste who are not segregating. The stakeholders are the policymakers who have just made the rules and the laws, and they're unaware of the ground level realities. And then there are the municipalities or the contractors of municipality who are, or the vendors who are supposed to handle waste. They are not following the a systems method or processes to handle that waste. And then, of course, there is technology providers. The technology for handling waste efficiently, it is not in sync with the categories of waste which are generated. Thus, they all end up in the landfills. So those are the major challenges I feel are responsible that in our country we are not successful to achieve desired results and to ensure that systemic waste management projects and processes are implemented efficiently. It needs a teamwork. We all need to work in sync. All the stakeholders have to work together. The public, which generate waste, they have to follow the rules, and the municipalities or the policy makers have to ensure that they take enough steps to implement these rules at the ground level. So that, I think, is most important.
Thank you so much, ma'am, once again, to provide us with a great overview, starting first of all with the use of disposable plastics and paper cups, its impact mainly because of single-use plastics, the negative impact of the overusage of the multi-layer or other single-use plastic, especially as they are stressing our existing landfill. In light to this, you have also provided your opinion on prioritizing the reduce approach for such category of wastes. We also talked about the community, such as institute campuses, which brought positive changes where, for example, the use of steel cups, spoons, and plates systematically worked towards the zero waste mission. You know, in a way that community stakeholders have accepted the norms along with the benefit of such practice. You also talked about how at ground level, we must create awareness towards the community, where working with the waste generator is very critical. He also focused on working towards suitable technologies in line with the infrastructure to bring in a holistic approach of handling a range of waste, for example, creating biogas plant and compost pits, to name a few. We also discussed about how the municipality, the government, and also it's the individual social responsibility that must sink in together to bring a positive change in the field of solid waste management. We once again thank you, ma'am, for your great overview on this topic. And I'm sure that our listeners must have engrossed themselves and want to know more about it, I'm sure. So would it be fine, ma'am, if we include your email ID and the point of contact if they want to understand more about the zero waste policy, which I think is a great need for all the developing countries, especially where we know that the landfills are getting overburdened and it's not really a good management entity, you know, that any municipality, any part of the city in the world would like to accept. Thank you, ma'am, on behalf of the E2C podcast team and myself, would like to once again, it was an absolute pleasure from our side to host you and know more about the solid waste management. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Pratik sir and E2C team, for having me here. It was a great pleasure.